Well, good afternoon. Welcome. Good to have you here. This is our 6 p.m. service at 1:40 p.m. Being potluck Sunday, we have an adjusted schedule. I am beginning the desktop recording software. There we go. All right. So far, this grand experiment, I think, has worked pretty well. So we'll see how the whole thing comes together when we get all four parts of these put together. This is our fourth and final session on Logos Bible software training, so any questions that we have not answered in the first 3 weeks, we want to make sure that we get to them today and have the opportunity to answer everything and explain things, demonstrate certain features, and if I don't know the answer, we will learn together and we will find the answer. Open up with a word of prayer, and then we will begin. Father, we thank you for today and the blessing we have once again to study your word, to study about your word, to train in the tools that you have provided. Father, we have resources available in this generation that previous generations couldn't have even dreamed possible. And yet they are provided for us, Father. And we can carry entire libraries in our pocket. We can carry entire theological libraries on our phone. It's extraordinary, Father, what you have provided. So, Father, bless our time together, answer our questions, teach us and train us. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, I'm going to begin by highlighting a couple of things under system tools or program settings. Remember, I made a button on my toolbar a couple of weeks ago to find the program settings much more simply. So I've got a button there that brings me to those. If you don't have a button on your toolbar for that, you find it under tools. And then it's in the second column, second from the bottom, and there's program settings, all right? It'll be a slightly different menu layout if you're still using Logos 5 or if you're using Logos 4, but that's where the program settings are found. They're always going to be in your tools menu. And under this, a couple of things you can do. If you're typically not on the internet, then you can control that here, and you can not use the internet. So after you get to accessibility, your top section is general, then accessibility, then internet. And if you don't want this is for the software, this isn't for you, okay? If you don't want the software to use the internet, then you can turn that off and say no, all right? Likewise, automatically download the updates. If you want to automatically download them, leave it on yes or do it on no. Sometimes I find it's inconvenient if I'm in the middle of a Bible class and it starts to download an update. So I turn that off. I will update myself. Show community ratings. If you care about that, turn it on. If you don't care about it, turn it off. Send feedback. Again, all these are your preferences. All right. But I typically will have internet on. That way I can go to the catalog. That way I can see other features. But I turn my updates off and these other features I turn off. As I mentioned, maybe the only other, the most important thing on here is to go back up to the general settings and turn off your sound. All right, turn off your sound. They're not impressive anyway. Why even have them on? Where it says play sounds, turn that to no. Okay, and to my knowledge, the only sound that plays is when you first load the program anyway. And you have that little log-off sound, right? That little doon-dee-dee. Anyway, turn that off. We don't need to hear that. We've all heard it before, and we don't need to disrupt Bible class, if particularly when we just say, okay, we bow for a moment of silent prayer, and then here come the jingles, because people use the silent prayer moment to launch their Bible software. All right. Anyway, so those are the program settings. And it's not necessary to be connected to the internet to use the program. In fact, if that's off, then the next time that you launch the program, it's not going to go to the login page. It's not going to bring up the login and check your email and check your login and any of that. It'll run on an offline basis if you turn off the internet there in the program settings. So, all right, we have done a lot, but there's still a lot more we haven't done. I'm actually kind of sad at some of the stuff we haven't done. We haven't done collections. We haven't done searches. We haven't done interlinear displays. There's a lot that we have not done, and I think we ought to. So I'm going to open up a Bible. How do I open up a Bible? Well, I've got a toolbar, and I've got a button on my toolbar right there, and that'll open up a Bible. Or if I don't want to do that, I can put in a reference here in the command bar. I can just put in Romans 8:28, and it'll open that up in a Bible. That's another way to do it, okay? Or I could do a Control L and open up my library and then try to hunt through for an NASB, of which I've got a couple, 95, there we go. If I want the old NASB, I can get that too, because I have that one also. That's another way to open a Bible. There's what we've been finding, and what I've been trying to highlight, is there's about three ways to do everything. All right. There's a mouse command. There's a keyboard shortcut. There's a toolbar. There's several ways to do just about everything you want to do. And so learn what works for you. Learn what you're comfortable with, and the program will work with you like that. All right. So as I look at Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Now, we've talked in the past about how we can link this in link set A. Do you remember how to do link set A? I come here to the control panel for the resource, which is the picture of the book in the top left corner. All right, and I left click on that. And here I have the different link sets. I'll make that a link set A. And then I open up a Greek New Testament. And likewise, I can make that a link set A. And now they're linked. Now they're going to follow each other. All right. Now, that's one thing to do. But if maybe you don't have a Greek New Testament, or you're really not that comfortable reading it or looking at it, you don't want to work with it like that. Okay. The other thing you can do, I'm going to go ahead and close that for now. Or I'll put it over here. The other thing you can do is you can actually open the interlinear within the English Bible. Okay, as we highlighted a couple weeks ago, every one of these English Bibles, or many of these English Bibles, have a lot of other information coded in there, including the Greek text. All right, and you can show that up here. There are several interlinear options you can look at here, and some of these are new icons, depending on if you have Logos 6 or not. But let me just show you, there's an interlinear button, and then there is an inline interlinear button, and that part is new to 6. So let me simply open this one, and this opens up the interlinear text at the bottom, okay? It opens up the interlinear text at the bottom of the pane. And so you'll notice the word "and" is highlighted here, and that's not such a big deal. But let's go to purpose. I'm going to highlight purpose. There we go. That might be a term I want to look at, or good. I might want to look at the term good, or God, or love, or any of these things. Okay, but let's just if I left click on the word purpose, while I have this pane open, okay, this interlinear pane, and that's called the interlinear pane, and it's also called the Control Shift R. Here we go. Show interlinear pane. So, you know, man, there's a lot of ways you can do this. You can click on the button in the toolbar to open it. You can do a Control-Shift-R if you're really big on keyboard shortcuts. Whatever it is that you're comfortable with, go with that. All right, and so you'll see on the screen, with purpose highlighted, you have all the information there highlighted in that column. So the surface text says purpose. The manuscript is prothesin, all right? The Greek manuscript says prothesin, and that makes sense because you'll spot that over here. There's your prothesin right there, okay? That's how it shows up in the text, as prothesin. But prothesin itself, and then you have the transliteration, all right? You have the transliteration right here. So if you can't read with the Greek alphabet, the pi, rho, omicron, theta, epsilon, sigma, iota, nu, if you can't read prothesin in the Greek letters, then you can read the transliteration right underneath it, where it's in English letters, P-R-O-T-H-E-S-I-N, prothesin. And it's a good way to learn how to do your transliterations. It's a good way to see Greek words in English transliterations. But the lemma, is the dictionary form, what you find in the dictionary. You don't look up prothesin in your dictionary. You look up prothesis in your dictionary. The lemma is your vocabulary form, the index entry form when you find it in your dictionaries, and that's prothesis. And the reason why it's prothesin instead of prothesis is because it is an accusative singular feminine. How do you know it's a accusative singular feminine? Because you have the morphology right here that tells you prothesin is a noun in the accusative case, the singular number, the feminine gender. It tells you that that's what NASF stands for, noun, accusative, singular, feminine. Yes, sir?
It's also helpful if you hover over it.
Uh-huh.
It actually spells it out.
Yeah, you can hover over it. You can hover over the word purpose here, and it'll pop up. You can hover over, or if you hover over the NASF, See, move my mouse over the NASF and it tells you what NASF is. And so forth. Then you have the Strong's number. 4286 is the Strong's number. All right. So this is the value of having the reverse interlinear, having the pain there. And that may be of interest to you as you work your way through a text. Something else that may be of interest to you as you work your way through a text is to right-click anywhere in the verse. And with Romans 8:28 selected as a reference, you can do your exegetical guide. I believe I shared this a couple weeks ago when we looked at the exegetical guide. Remember, you've got a passage guide, and you have an exegetical guide. What's the difference between the two? They're both key to the passage. The passage guide will give commentary links. It will give topic links to different topics that are in the verse. All right. As well as some of your collections. They'll show up in the passage guide. People, places, dates, timelines, events, things like that. Those concepts show up in your passage guide. The exegetical guide is strictly language. Language stuff, including text variants, including manuscripts, including the apparatuses, including the ancient versions, including grammars, visualizations. And then you get to the word by word. And this is where... the software is doing for you what used to take hours to do yourself by hand. You used to go word for word for word and spell everything out. The software is doing that for you these days. Okay? We are slugs. We are lazy slugs compared to our forefathers. And so you'll notice you have two columns here. There's the Nestle, New American Standard reverse interlinear with the Greek text and the English text. All right? And so it's spelled out. Now, the words that are dark are the ones that are included in your drop-down list down below. If it's grayed out, it's probably just a minor word. It's a definite article. It's particle. It's a conjunction. It's usually no big deal, and you don't usually worry about them. You can still get them, though, all right? You can still get them. So, but right now, they're bold, like oidomen is bold, and agaposoe is bold, theon, panta, and those ones that are bold are now listed down below, all right? And you simply work your way through the text. And so, oidomen here. And oidomen is the verb for we know. And you see that it's underneath the expression we know, because it highlights oidomen in red, it highlights we know in red. You come down here to oidomen, and you see... it comes from oida. It's a perfect active indicative, first person plural. All right. It does all your verb conjugations for you. It does all your word study right there. It also bookmarks your different lexicons that have the entry for oida. It gives you, it already bookmarks those, so when you get ready to go look at your lexicons, it's already been bookmarked, already been searched, and so forth. As we work our way down, agaposi, theon, panta, sunerge, that's worked together, agathon for good, prothesin, there's our prothesin, okay, kletois, husin. Now, that's not every single word in the verse, but that's the bulk of them, okay, and probably those are the words you're going to care about when you do a word study, or when you do a topic, or when you do some kind of doctrinal study within the verse. If you want the rest, they are available. I mean, if you really want to know about the de, you can click on the de. All right, and it'll go through, and it'll go ahead and insert that. Notice now there is a de entry here between oidomen and agaposi. All right, wasn't there before until I decided, you know what, I'm going to look at my de, okay, my and, my post-particle conjunction, post-positive conjunction, de. And so any of these, you want to look at hadi, look at hadi, okay. So if there's a word that doesn't show up in the past in the exegetical guide, in other words, if it's grayed out and the software decided you don't care about conjunctions or particles or adverbs or whatever, maybe you do care. Maybe this is a time you want to look at hati, okay? All you got to do is click it. It'll go from gray to black. It'll add it to the exegetical guide, and you keep on going from there. So does that make sense? Any question about that? Okay. So that's the nature there. All right. Collections. Yes, sir.
When you do
Uh-huh. The reverse interlinear tab, pain. Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent question. What's the difference between MSS and Lemma? The MSS is the manuscript. That is how it appears in the manuscript. And when it appears in the manuscript, it's going to be inflected. It's going to be it's because all language is inflected. And so it's going to be how it appears in your Greek Bible. So, for example, we know it's Oedemon is the manuscript. Oedemon is how it shows up in the Bible. The Lemma is Oida. Oida is the vocabulary form. That's what you don't look up Oedemon in your lexicon. You look up Oida in your lexicon. And so the lemma is the definition, like theos is the lemma, but it's theon in the manuscript. Agapao is the vocabulary form, but it shows up as agaposin in the manuscript. That's the difference between the manuscript and the lemma form. That's a great question. Thank you for asking that. It took me 6 months to learn one time when I was... Yes? Uh-huh.
When you click on that, something comes up over here, but the book it comes up in is not the book idea everywhere you have.
Okay, when you click in the reverse interlinear pane?
Yeah, and it's giving you okay.
Okay. Yeah, this is why, you want to follow, and if you have a question, let me know what it is you're clicking, what it is you're not clicking.
Well, it went away and it came back and it was on 22. So on 28. So if you do purpose, you got purpose down there. Now purpose comes up on the left, tells you it's a noun. It's a definition in the dictionary. How come you don't have a dictionary and he doesn't either?
Okay. So it depends on what you want out of this text.
Or,
Okay, right. So right-click the word purpose.
Up in the verse.
Right-click the word purpose. Okay. Now, this is huge. Okay, and this is if you got to get this, because what comes up, this is called a right-click context menu. It's a right-click context menu, and it is actually about 12 different right-click context menus. All right. There's a left column and there's a right column. The actual right column is the one that's most important at this moment. Okay, because you right-clicked the word purpose, but there's actually a lot that you clicked, not just the word purpose. Okay, and so you might have selected purpose. That's your selection. And you notice if you left-click purpose, then these menu items on the left are going to change. All right, now if you left-click his purpose... You say, what's the difference between purpose and his purpose? Actually, there is a difference. Okay? Purpose as a word, or his purpose as in the purpose of God. That's a concept. Okay? And then here again, this is going to change your options there. Maybe what you really wanted to highlight was the whole verse. That's the reference. Okay? And this is what probably you didn't follow this step. Okay? And so if we get to reference then, left click on Romans 8:28. Now you have the reference that's highlighted, and now you've got different options over here. This left column, that left column is different for every single one that's available on the right column. And so as I work my way down here, there's prothesin, there's prothesis, there's tithemi, there's noun accusative singular feminine, there's Greek strongs. And so every time I click one of these, you'll notice that menu on the left keeps changing. And that is actually a great feature of this program. It's a great flexibility of this program, because that allows you to have a dozen context menus just with a right click. A right click followed by a left click in that right column. But see, unless someone teaches you how to left click this right column, you'll never spot how all those things keep changing. All right? So now, once I have Romans 8:28 selected, now I can come over here and I can do I'm going to do a passage guide. All right. And then what's going to happen is I'm going to get a passage guide for Romans 8:28. That's going to start to load and it'll take a couple moments. All right. But it's going to show me all my commentaries, my journals, my other content. I've even got some Lewis Roth First Peter notes that mention Romans 8:28. I got some Dan Craw, 1 John notes that mention Romans 8:28. All right? You may not even remember that. You say, where did that come from? All right? Well, if you don't recall, your software will remind you. And, okay. And so I click on it and it brings it up and, okay, I guess I had a reference there somewhere. I'm not sure where. Anyway, you're welcome. Your screen went blank. Okay, I understand. I have days like that. Yes, sir. Well, that's true too. If you do a personal book builder, then yeah, if you make a personal book, then those things will show up as well. Right. Okay. Yep. All right. Collections. Let me show you something about collections because collections will help with searching. All right. To get to collections, I have a collections button on my toolbar. You may not have a collections button on your toolbar until you drag one there. But underneath tools, library tools, the very first one is called collections. You see that there? If you like, drag that menu button up to your toolbar, and then you'll have a collections button on your toolbar, because you may use this a lot. But opening up collections, and this now allows you to create a new collection, all right? And I'm going to call this, instead of unnamed collection number 2, I'm going to call this, this is my practice collection. That's the name I'm going to give it. It's called practice collection. All right. And in my practice collection, I want to start with any resources matching. And here's the thing. This is where it's going to get very flexible. So let me go ahead and open one I've already got going. I created one called Geisler. That'd be a fun one. Why did I create one called Geisler? So I wanted a collection in my library of everything I've got by Norm Geisler in my library. Okay? And so if you're making a collection now and you've got a new collection, you can name it Geisler. And then for the start with, resources matching in the search field, put capital A, author, colon, Geisler. Author, colon, Geisler. And for me, that's sufficient until such time as I get another Geisler author in my library. Then I might want to get more specific and make it simply Norman Geisler. But for now, when I do author Geisler, the resulting collection will be populated, and I've got 19 resources. All right? You have however many you have. If there's a book in your library that has Norm Geisler as the author, it's going to show up there. All right? Now, if you want to get more refined than that, you can get more refined than that. You can limit it to the title. You can limit it to the type of resource. But this is going to be useful for you, okay? Let me show you another one. And all you got to do is close it, and it's automatically saved. Collections are always saved. You just click on New, make another one. Don't call it Geisler, though. Make another one and call it Bible Dictionaries / Encyclopedias. All right, and I recommend this. This is a very useful one to have. This will limit a lot of your searches, okay? So if you can call it Bible Dictionaries / Encyclopedias. And then what you're going to do, what I've done anyway, is I go into the search field right below there, and I put in title, colon. Remember when we did author, colon, for Geisler? Now we're going to do title, colon. And I want the title to have Bible Dictionary, as a phrase in quotes. So title, colon, open quote, Bible Dictionary, close quote. Or, colon, Bible Encyclopedia, colon. So the title is either Bible Dictionary or Bible Encyclopedia. And you see what happens then, I'll give you a chance to type that out. What happens then is it will populate your resultant collections with however many resources you have in your library that either have Bible dictionary or Bible encyclopedia in the title. For me, it's Anchor, Yale Bible Dictionary, Easton's Bible Dictionary, Erdman's Bible Dictionary. You see the list there? HarperCollins Bible Dictionary, Harper's Bible Dictionary. What they all have in common is they have the phrase Bible Dictionary or Bible Encyclopedia in the title. Notice there's the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. Down below, there's going to be a Wycliffe Bible Encyclopedia. Okay. Yes, you want to do the capital, the OR has to be in all caps. Capital O, capital R. That way the software knows it's a search operator and it's not a word you're searching for. Yes. Thank you. This becomes important, all right? That's a good collection to have. Other collections to have. I have a collection I call All English Bibles. All English Bibles, because I have so many non-English Bibles. All right, so I have a collection called All English Bibles. And to do this, I've combined the type, colon, Bible, and, all caps, A and D, Lang, colon, English. Type, colon, Bible, and Lang, colon, English. I don't think so. I don't think I can make that any larger. Yeah, up here in the start with resources matching, type, T-Y-P-E, colon, Bible, space, capital A-N-D for and, all in caps, space, Lang for language, L-A-N-G, colon, English. And you'll notice, this is... the resulting collections is similar to my library. Notice when I open up my library, all of these resources here, I've got a title, an author, a type, a series, languages, subjects, and so forth. All of these headings are, you can use these in your collection builder. You can use these to create subsets of your library. So these are all counted as Bibles, even though they're Greek manuscripts. They're counted as Bible as a type, or they're counted as a Bible commentary as a type, or a monograph as a type, or an encyclopedia as a type. If, as you explore your library, pay attention to those types, because those are the type of things you're going to want to include in your collections. All right? Typically, if you have a series... A lot of times Logos will add that series as a collection. Not always, but occasionally. And so if they do, then you've already have a collection. When you open up my collections, do you have some already? If I come over here to open under collections, do you just have the two we created or do you have more than that? Because we created Geisler and we created Bible Dictionary / Encyclopedias. Do you have more than that already? There could be some already pre-built if Logos added some in there for you. You don't have any? Okay. You do? What do you have? Okay. Practice we're doing now. And probably the Jewish background and culture we did ourselves a little bit ago. Yeah, like a few months back. Okay. We did it on a Wednesday morning. We had a, okay. I have a collection called Bolander. It's kind of scary. But it's a way to find any of my personal books that are in the library and a way to search those as a collection. Okay? And all we're doing ourselves some favors by limiting the books we're searching through. All right? And that's what we do. The value of having a collection is it allows you to have a much smaller search field for things that you're looking for. Under searching. And I'll show you that here in a moment, because the searching is really where the power of the software truly comes in. So on this, at home, I've got a whole lot more than just these two, but on this laptop has the Life of Christ notebook and the Romans notebook, okay? At home, on my home computer, what I usually use for studying, I've got a whole lot more personal books on that home computer that I study with. And so anything there. I probably have one for Craw. I probably have one for Roth. And if I have your notes and I've used your notes in Bible class, then I probably have a collection, or I probably have your books in my library on that basis. All right. Let's talk about searches. All right, because this is really the neat thing. And how many ways are there to do everything? Three or four. Yeah, at least three, maybe four. Okay. There's so much we can do. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13. Huh. Okay, got a bunch of verses there. Looks like a rapture passage. All right. Verse 17, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. That sounds kind of fun. All right. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. I met a man the other day who told me he didn't believe in the rapture. I said, well, don't you have 1 Thessalonians 4 in your Bible? He said, well, yeah, of course I do. Well, okay, well, then you believe in the rapture. He goes, well, but I don't think it's going to happen before the tribulation. Oh, okay, well, that's a different conversation. But you believe in the rapture. You just have a different understanding of the timing for the rapture. All right, do you believe that we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air? Do you believe that? Well, yeah. Well, then, okay. You believe in the rapture. Don't tell me you don't believe in the rapture. You just have a different understanding on the timing for the rapture. Relax. All right. So, to meet the Lord in the air, to meet the Lord in the air, caught up together. You know, there's so much that we could do here. To be gathered together, caught up together. Anyway, let's say you want to do a search. You want to do a search in this passage, and whatever it is, you want to do a search for a hope, okay? So, we can right-click for hope, all right? Now, there's different things. There's the word hope. But there's also the concept of no hope. Notice that? Because in the text it says no hope, as do the rest who have no hope. Okay, that might be a slight change between 5 and 6. That may not have been a feature of 5. It is a feature of 6, the positive and the negative. Okay. Anyway, so let's look at hope. And I want to search hope. But what do I want to search for hope? As I come over here on the left, I can search this resource. I can search all open resources. I can search all resources. I can search everything. That's a new added feature to number 6, Logos 6. I'm just going to search this resource for hope. And as I search this resource for hope, I've got 140 results and 132 verses. All right? And I just searched for hope. I searched for hope in this resource. Okay? 140 results in 132 verses. Are you following me? Okay. Yes. Search all Bible text and all passages in the New American Standard Bible for hope. Okay, well, I'm glad you guys have more than I do. All right?
Which option did you get? 140?
You have 140? All right. Yes, sir?
What option did you get for that thing?
All right, you're overwhelming me here. What? All right. Over here on the right, I right-clicked the word hope. I highlighted the phrase hope at the top. Not no hope, but hope. And then I came down here to, underneath there, to search. And then this resource. 140 results in 132 verses. You got 154. Well, this is puzzling. We'll have to work this out after class. Why some of you got 154 and some of us got 140? All right? No, Michael and I have 140. Okay. All right. Now, let me show you something else. If you right-click on hope, but don't select the English word hope, come down here to the fifth option down, not the manuscript, but the lemma, and left-click Elpis. Do you see Elpis, which is the lemma? Elpis is the Greek word for hope in this verse. It's the Greek word for hope in this verse. There may be other words for hope in other verses, but in this verse, the Greek word for hope is Elpis. And now, if I search this resource, I have 53 results in 48 verses. Tell me you have something similar. Okay. I can't explain the other thing. I'd have to look at it and see what is going on. All right. So why is it different searching for hope or searching for Elpis? Shouldn't it all be the same? Right. Sometimes Elpis is translated as something besides hope, or sometimes there's other words that are translated for hope besides Elpis. Plus, there's all the Old Testament usages that are Hebrew, not Greek. And so if all you're doing is searching your English Bible for hope, you're going to get the English word hope, or hoped, or hoping, depending on how you have your stems. All right, but here we're searching for Elpis. There's a difference between searching for Elpis and searching for hope. All right, you can also search for, the Strong's number, 1680, which should be the same as searching for Elpis. That should be virtually identical. Anyway, those are ways to search. Other ways you can search. You can simply, that's if you're right-clicking in a verse. But what if you don't have a Bible open, or what if you don't know the Bible passage? What if you just want to, isn't there a verse in the Bible that talks about love, money, evil, something like that? Okay, well, this is your search button there on the toolbar. So click that, and you can open up a search window. And I do recommend a Bible search to start with, not a basic search, but a Bible search. And I'm going to search for love, money, evil. And just putting in the three words by themselves. Ah, there it is. 1 Timothy 6:10. Okay? That's right, I knew that. If all you're doing is putting in a list of words, then you're doing an and search. You don't have to do love and money and evil. You can leave the ands out. You just put the words in you want, and the search will understand you want all those words. If you only want, so there's love, money. There's three verses that have love and money. 1 Timothy 3:3, 1 Timothy 6:10, and Hebrews 13:5. Those are three verses that have love and money. If you want love or money, oh my goodness, this is going to be a lot. 498 results in 438 verses, okay? Either with the word love or the word money or both, okay? If the word has both, it'll show up in this search result. Either love or money or both. That's the or operator, okay? Love or money. And make sure your or is capitalized, O-R. Yes, sir. Oh, for your search results, you can have your search results as a grid. Do your search results show up like that? Or verses? Or aligned? I like having mine aligned. This should be at the top of your search results. Okay? Why do you have more hope than I do?
On the top menu.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Love, loved, loving, lover. Yeah. Okay, that's why you have more hope than I do. Because I have match equivalent references as opposed to match all word forms. Okay, good to know. Okay. Yeah. All right. Uh-huh. Probably. No, I would have gotten more than that. I would have got the root has a whole lot more than just Elpis. It has the whole Elpis family. Elpis, Elpidzo, it has compounds. Yeah, root searches would be a whole lot more. All right. I'm going to blank out the search field here and just have an empty search window. This is actually very useful. Before you search for anything, search for nothing, okay? And you don't actually search for nothing, but if you have a blank field there, it gives you a lot of help, gives you a lot of hints on how to do a search, including a word search like love. If you want all the words, faith, hope, love. If you want any of the words, faith, comma, hope, comma, love, okay? That's like the OR operator, the commas. If you want... Put faith, comma, hope, comma, love, and it'll give you a list. As long as a verse has one of those words in it, you're good. If you take out the commas, you got to have all three words in it. If you want an exact phrase like Google, you put it in quotes. You can have ands and nots. So you can have love. Here's all your verses for love. But take out the verses and not money. Okay, so these are all the verses that have love, unless it has the word money in it. Okay, so if you want a list of verses that has love and not money, this way you can avoid that problem passage in 1 Timothy 6, all right, or what have you. You can have and not. You can have before. And this is better than an and. This, it has to be in that order. Love has to be in the verse, and it has to be before the word money in that verse. And so you have before searches, you can have after searches. Anyway, there's a whole lot of variety. See, there's an after verse there. Anyway, a lot of these you just have to play with. And if you leave your search field blank, you got a lot of helping suggestions here in this panel. And scroll down, because there's a lot more. There's your logical operators. You can search for just the words of Christ in red. You can just search for Old Testament quotes. You can search for proximity. This Jesus before Christ, Jesus after Christ, Jesus near Christ, Jesus before four words Christ, or within four words of Christ, things like that. There's a lot you can do. It's a powerful, powerful search engine, including regular expressions, including any number of things that you can use to search with. So you can search on, with a right click from the text itself. You can search just from here. You can do a basic search instead of a Bible search. Oh, I should point out, when you're doing a Bible search, you can search the all the Bible text. You can search only in search fields, solid colors, emphasis markup. If you want to search your highlights, you can. All passages or Old Testament, New Testament. There's no shortage of things you can search here for ranges. If you only want to search in 1 John chapter 3, I mean, this is so flexible. I'm going to search in Daniel 11. And any of these that, if you find a range that's not even in here and you want, make a new one. Make a new one. Old Testament, New Testament, histories, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. Maybe you don't want to search the whole Bible. You just want to search part of the Bible. That's available. All right? In your basic searching, you've got all resources. You've got your fact book, you've got your atlas, but you also have, you can search in your resources, your documents, your community tags, all open resources, top Bibles, all open Bibles. And then notice, here's all your collections. So you want to search your Geisler collection, and you want to search for every time he mentions Texas. He never mentions Texas. Search for every time he mentions Schaefer. Oh, that can't be right. Search for all times he mentions love. I'm doing something wrong. All right, this is embarrassing. What am I doing wrong? Okay. Anyway, the point for having collections is so that they show up when you're doing searches. You want to have as many collections as you need, as many collections as you commonly use. The more collections you have, the more flexible your searching is going to be. Maybe you only want to search your Bible dictionaries and encyclopedias, okay, for love. Why is it not doing that? All right.
Is it the old
thing? Well, I don't know. I must be broken. Okay. I cannot explain it. All text in everything for Jesus. All right, well, at least my search is doing something. Huh, maybe I have a broken Geisler collection. I'll have to look into that. Anyway, that's embarrassing. All right, other questions? What have we not covered? We got 2 minutes. What do you want to know? Was this useful? Did we get any value in February, or did we just ruin a whole month? Okay, I hope so. No, I did not. Yeah, that's even more complicated. If you want to add a resource to your library, okay. Oh, we started it. We got 12 more minutes. Okay. If you want to add a personal book, for example, I've got the Life of Christ series notebook here. Okay, and this isn't a book that you buy at logos.com. This is a Word document that you convert into a personal reference, or the Romans notebook. All right, there's the Romans notebook. If you want something like that, you can take any Word document, as long as it's a docx file, and you can add it to your library. It's called a personal book. And to get there, it's under Tools. I haven't done this since I added 6 here. Personal books. And here is where you're going to create a personal book based upon a Word document that you have. And you want to add a book. And this is now your utility to add the book. All right? And the title is whatever the title is. Maybe it's Deb's Cookbook. And the author is Deb. And the copyright is none. All right. Then what you're going to do, you're going to add a file right here. And this is where you have to browse to the directory that has your Word document. And once you add it, it's got to be a docx file, one of the new Word documents. You can even add a cover if you have a JPEG image for the cover. All right. And then once you have the file and cover if you want to, then you do build book, and it will turn that Word document into a personal book. It'll show up in my library. It'll be tagged with an author and so forth. Anyway, that's a whole class unto itself, and you can spend an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours learning how to do those. All right, under documents, we talked about note files. We talked about prayer lists, reading plans. Let's look at reading plans. Let's make a new reading plan. This is kind of fun. You can actually have group reading plans if you want. Everybody in the Logos servers will coordinate this for all your users. But say generate a reading plan, like read the NASB in a year. You say, well, that's too much. Let's read the NASB in 3 years. So that's more my speed, okay, or what have you. Okay, and here you set your options, and you say, well, okay, I want to read all passages. If you want to limit it to the New Testament or whatever, you can do that. By default, which means you're going to go in the canonical order, Genesis to Revelation. You could change that if you want. Chapter, pericope, leave it as default, okay. New American Standard Bible, 1995 update. If you want to change that to the Holman or whatever, change your Bible there. Say, well, I want to do the Holman instead or whatever. You know what? Every day, that's too much. I can't read every day. How about Monday, Wednesday, Friday? Right? Okay, I want to read every Monday, Wednesday, Friday for the next 3 years. Okay? Starting today and finishing in 1 year or in 6 months, or in 52 weeks, or in how many sessions, or in how many verses. Let's just say we want to go for 156 weeks. 156, in 156 weeks. So I'm going to finish on February 17th of 2018. All right? The thing is, this is all very flexible, all very customizable. Maybe Thursdays are bad for you, whatever. I mean, just pick what works. Pick what works. This is a pretty simple reading plan. I mean, if you can't read the Bible in 3 years, okay? So, yeah, we're going to do 156 weeks. We're going to end it there. All right, so we should be good. And click Start, and it's going to create your reading plan. It's going to go through. It's going to break it down. All you got to do tomorrow is read Genesis 1 and 2. And on Wednesday, read Genesis 3 through 5. On Friday, read Genesis 6 through 8. All right? And you notice March 2nd, March 4th, March 6th, March 9th, March 11th, March 13th. It did what you told it to do. It only picked Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays for the next 156 weeks. Okay? If you want to look at the, that's the list. If you want to look at the overview, you can look at the overview. If you want to look at the calendar, there's your calendar. Okay? And then, best part of all, even after you close this, it's going to be populated on your homepage. After your prayer lists, you've got readings. All right. I'm presently doing 5 days on spiritual growth. I'll have a reading tomorrow that should finish that off. And then there it is. Read the NASB in 3 years. And that's tomorrow's reading, Wednesday's reading, and Friday's reading, right there on the homepage. Okay. Check it off when you're done. Say, all right, I've already read Genesis 1 and 2. I read it early. I'm not supposed to read it till tomorrow, but check it off, and it will disappear. Likewise, see. Okay, I prayed for the Tamayo Bolanders already. Gone. Prayed for the Springers. Gone. All right, there's the Meadow Lakes Bolanders, Matthew and Beverly, pray for them, done. All right, and what's fun about this prayer, I shared this, didn't I, a couple weeks ago? Praying for the Allens, praying for the Schneiders. You can hover over it and the names pop up there. That's a lot of Schneiders. All right. Done. And then this is from our church bulletin, right? The military list from our church bulletin has those names in it. Curry, Dalton, Daugherty, Gilpin, Seddon, Schneider, Souter, Williams, and Zuck. Those are the names from our church bulletin, right? And then, so pray for them. Monthly support in missionaries. Look at that. Schaefer, Eichmann, LaRosa, Myers, John. Look at that. Faisal and Carrie John. Lewis and Ann Roth. All right? For Grace Knows. All right? You've been prayed for. Gone. And then as you pray for all these, usually take longer than this. As you pray for all these, seminary training, men under ministry training. All right. Prayers are done for today. Don't you love that? But they'll come back tomorrow. Yes, sir.
Can you import those lists, or do you have to manually import
them? Are those shareable? Import, export? I don't think so. I think we're working on sharing those, working on sharing notes, prayer lists. You can do community notes. You can do community prayer lists. And then they're shareable by people that log in and do that. Yeah. All right, 4 minutes left. Documents, prayer list, untitled prayer list. You know, make it a prayer list. Give it a title. Jerk coworkers. All right? And that's the name of this, all right? And then under this, you've got particular prayers. Maybe there's this one particular jerk coworker. His name is Fred. All right, and then different notes. Why is he a jerk? Put it in there. Teasing. All right. Then you can pray for this item every day, or you know what? I'm only going to pray for him every 3 days. Yes, sir. Manage document sharing right there. Okay. Well, there it is. Everybody knows I do not have a coworker named Fred. But there it is, and I could share that with anybody I want to share it with. All right, thank you. All right. And I only pray for Fred every 3 days. Okay. Now, maybe I need to add a prayer. Okay, this is now for Henry, all right, and Henry I pray for every day, okay, and then I'll add another prayer for Susie, no, I have a Susie in the church, Guinevere, all right, yeah, but Guinevere, I only pray for her every 8 days, all right, yeah, she doesn't need hardly any prayer at all. All right, so the point being, though, whatever schedule you want to set, the frequency you want to set, these are the kind of things now that will show up on your homepage. See, I got jerk coworkers up there now. All right, now, Fred, Guinevere, and Henry, they're not, tomorrow, what's going to show up tomorrow? The only one that's going to show up tomorrow is going to be Henry. Henry's the only one I pray for every day. Fred, I pray for every 3 days. Guinevere, I only pray for every 8 days. And if I lose track, wait a minute, how many days has it been since I prayed for Guinevere? I might lose track of that. My software won't. Okay, the software will remember, hey, this is the 8th day, pray for Guinevere. And if you missed a day, I'm pretty sure if you miss a day, it's going to be up there until you say, okay, I prayed for Guinevere. There she goes, we won't see her again for 8 days. Okay? Anyway, here's what I'm going to do. If you miss a day, it combines. There you go. Okay. I'm going to come back here to documents. I'm going to go over here to jerk coworkers and right click and delete. Oh, this was just for fun, just for practice. My apologies to Guinevere, Fred, and Henry. All right. We're approaching the end of the hour. Yes, sir? Yeah. Unless you have it setting under settings here for your home page, You might have today's prayers deselected, today's readings deselected. I have them both selected so they both show up on my homepage. Yep. It's a good thing to point out. Yeah, if you don't have them, if you don't have today's readings or today's prayers, you can make those go away in your sidebar settings. Yep. Yep. Okay. Well, we are out of time, so I appreciate your making it out today. Let me close in prayer before we run out of recording time. Thank you, Father, for this class. Thank you for these students. Bless them in their ongoing studies. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.